Grungier the better. A fire in Bremerton Monday wiped out an abandoned building that was once the home of a popular music venue. And coincidentally, today's the anniversary of an infamous incident associated with that very club back in 1987. And historian Felix Bunnell is here to tell us about it, brought to us by the King County Library System. Hi, Felix.
Yeah, that bumper might represent the first time that the band The Accused has ever been played on Cairo Radio. I don't think Jim French ever used it as a bumper back in the 80s.
Probably not.
So the club that burned on Bremerton, in Bremerton on Monday was called Natasha's. It's been closed for decades. Yesterday and this morning was the 31st anniversary of a punk show at Natasha's featuring British punk band GBH and local band The Accused, which we heard there a second ago. By all accounts, the show itself was pretty good, and there weren't any problems at the club. But what followed a little later, early on the morning of October 3rd, 1987, on the waters of Puget Sound, is three decades later, still infamous.
You know, it's one of those things that there's not a lot of folks left in the ferry system that remember this particular incident, but certainly there is a certain lore about it, and it gets handed down over time. And in fact, when I first started here, the captain that was aboard when this happened told me the story.
That's Ian Sterling. He's spokesman for the Washington State Ferry System. What he's referring to has come to be called the infamous Kitsap Ferry Riot. It's also the title of an animated short film that a local guy named Chris Looney is producing. Chris is a little too young to have been at the show or aboard the Kitsap, but he's talked to a lot of people who were there 31 years ago, and now is kind of an unofficial historian.
The show went till, you know, 11 or 12, and the last ferry back, it was 105, I believe, and it's just loaded with punks. And ferry personnel, I don't think they were too happy about it. I talked to a lot of people, and most people say that the ferry workers, you know, were a little bit rude and just kind of expecting trouble. I think when they saw all these kids, they were all excited from the show.
Now, there are differing accounts about exactly what happened next, but most people agree that some kind of verbal altercation broke out between a few of the punks and a 38-year-old ferry passenger. For some reason, this passenger started removing her clothes, performing an impromptu striptease. Not to be outdone, one of the punks peed on a bench. At this point, ferry staff and two off-duty Bremerton police officers got involved. First, they told the captain to head full speed for Seattle. Then they took the peeing punk and one other guy into custody and locked them and themselves in the purser's office. Then one of the punks started tearing down ceiling tiles, and many others started doing the same. Next, one of the punks grabbed a fire axe and tried to chop through the metal door to rescue his friend from the purser's office.
What?
Now, somewhere in the middle of all this, a punk who was down on his knees with his face up against the door vent trying to talk to his friend or reason with the cops maybe got sprayed with pepper spray from inside the purser's office. All told, in this riot, the Kitsap suffered about $30,000 in damage. When the ferry docked at Elliott Bay, Seattle police were on hand to help sort out who got to leave and who got taken into custody. Now, since this was 1987, there were no video cameras to record what happened, but with help from our good friend Casey McNerthney over at Cairo TV, we did find some tape from the day after the riot. This is reporter Roger Gadley, accused singer Blaine Cook, and then accused guitarist Tom Niemeyer.
Police deny that they provoked the crowd. Band members say when the rough stuff started, they went to their cars.
I don't want to have no part of it.
So you got out of the way?
Yeah.
There was a few outlandish kids, I'm sure, who wanted to say that they were more punk than the other kids, you know, so they grabbed fire axes and things like that. Unfortunately, that puts a bad name on, you know, on the punk scene, and it makes it harder for us to play gigs.
Chris Looney says it's worth stepping back here a moment to talk about why all-ages punk shows were being held in Bremerton in the first place. In 1985, the Seattle City Council passed a pretty tough teen dance club ordinance, mainly in response to rampant underage drug use and prostitution at a notorious club called the Monastery.
The Monastery.
Yeah,
right.
In an old church at Stewart and Denny.
Yep.
Chris Looney says the ordinance also chased away legitimate all-ages shows beyond the city limits.
Once there was no more all-ages shows in Seattle, people were going out to Bremerton, to Natasha's. They're going up to Everett. They're, you know, just all over Puget Sound, all these little all-ages shows would pop up because they couldn't happen in Seattle.
You know, that ordinance was changed in 2002 after a pretty serious grassroots and music industry campaign, and it became easier to hold all-ages shows in Seattle. So I asked Chris Looney why he thought it was worth making a film about a bunch of hooligans doing damage to a poor, helpless ferry boat three decades ago.
These stories from 1985 to about 1992, this Seattle Northwest hardcore scene is pretty underrepresented, and it was actually a very, very strong scene, and I think the strength of that scene carried through and maybe helped, you know, all these kids get into, like when the big grunge scene happened in the early 90s, that all stemmed from the same time period.
So maybe this wasn't some kind of turning point or watershed moment, but it feels like a milestone in that pre-grunge history that Chris mentioned. I mean, it's very different now. We have a city office devoted to the economic benefits of music and film, and we have dedicated all-ages venues like the Vera Project, actually on city property at Seattle Center. music is now a legit sector of the economy, like aerospace or biotech or something. It's no longer just a nuisance with, you know, kids. One other fact, the guy who was arrested for peeing on the ferry, he eventually got a job and worked for the ferry system for about a decade. That's what I'm told. That's the rumor. I'm 95% sure that's true.
So that was Seattle in its footloose days, huh?
Yeah, sort of pre-grunge, post-not-sure-what, but we have great photos at MyNorthwest.com that we got courtesy of Cairo TV.
Felix Bunnell joins us each Wednesday, sponsored by the King County Library System. Thank you, Felix.